Hebrews chapter 13 from verses 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Not holier than thou. That's something to think about as we examine ourselves during this divine service in the examination of God's Word. Indeed, we are continuing our series to examine ourselves according to the counsel of God's Word in the time of judgment, to afflict our souls. And I want to reread this important quote from Great Controversy in reference to this, the anti-typical Day of Atonement. It says here in Great Controversy, page 489, paragraph 3, "We are now living in the Great Day of Atonement. In the typical service, while the high priest was making the atonement for Israel, all were required to afflict their souls by repentance of sin and humiliation before the Lord, lest they be cut off from among the people. In like manner, all who would have their names retained in the book of life should now, in the few remaining days of their probation, afflict their souls before God by sorrow for sin and true repentance. There must be deep, faithful searching of heart." There must be deep, faithful searching of heart. This is what we are doing as we pass through each subject of this series of seeking to please God, seeking to afflict our souls in this day of judgment so that we will please God. Our scripture reading expressed this so meaningfully. He says that he will make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the avenue through which we are to examine ourselves. As we studied it last week, the first thing we have to examine is whether Jesus is in me. Because without Jesus in me, I will not see myself as I really am. And then through Jesus Christ, we will be brought to, as it says there, to receive the working of him, that which is well-pleasing in his sight. That's why our title is Seeking to Please God. We come also to a quote from the Spirit of Prophecy in the book Maranatha, the devotional book, page 57, where it says, "What shall I say to arouse the remnant people of God? I warn all who profess the name of Christ to closely examine themselves and make full and thorough confession of all their wrongs. that they may go beforehand to judgment, and that the recording angel may write pardon opposite their names. So this is the practical present truth, that we are to do this work of examining our souls closely and make full confession of all our wrongs, so that they will be go beforehand into judgment and the recording angel may write pardon opposite our names. The Bible is very explicit in reference to this hour of judgment for God's people, because people think, oh, God's people don't need to have the judgment, only the wicked will have the judgment. No, it says it here in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 24. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. And in another scripture it says that it is God's people upon whom the judgment commences. These some men are the God's people whose sins are open beforehand going into judgment. So indeed, we are spending each Sabbath in divine service to search where my sins are, so that they will go, we will send them beforehand into judgment by confession, so that they can be open and confessed and erased from the books of record. And there again, we read another very relevant quote from the Spirit of Prophecy to enlighten our understanding fully. It's in Councils on Sabbath School Work, CSW. And there on page 17 it says, what is the arrangement? What is our occupation? It says, study the Word of God by carefully and closely searching His Word. We shall obey the injunction of Christ, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. This search enables the student to observe closely the divine model, for they testify of Christ. Now, this is what we went into detail in last week, that we are to search out the Scriptures to explore the divine model. The pattern must be inspected often and closely in order to imitate it. And as one becomes acquainted with the history of the Redeemer, he discovers in himself defects of character. His unlikeness to Christ is so great that he sees he cannot be a follower without a very great change in his life. This is what we are to do, to search the Scriptures and search our hearts. And by beholding the model, being illuminated, and it's an interesting object lesson, as you let the sun shine through a window. You think the window is first quite clear, but then when the sun shines, all of a sudden you discover all the murk on it. So it is when the Sun of Righteousness shines into our soul, when we are wrapped up with Jesus, then all the spots and imperfections are revealed. Our unlikeness to Christ is so great that we see we cannot be a follower without a very great change in our life. But instead of saying, "Ugh, I'm so terrible," it goes on to say, still he studies. He doesn't give up. Still, he studies with a desire to be like his great exemplar. He catches the looks, the spirit of his beloved master. By beholding, he becomes changed, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So now it is that we will continue to look at Jesus and through him realize what needs to be corrected in our life as we proceed through these series. We will not do this without our relationship with Jesus. We will keep on searching the detail, keep on studying. And the more we see, the more we will feel we are unworthy. Our comeliness will be turned into us, into corruption, but we will keep on studying so that we will be changed into that image by the studying. We remember as we brought it out that Jesus is the Word, and the Word was made flesh. And so it is indeed as we search through the Word, let the Word be made flesh in us. Let the Word produce what Jesus came in his person to reveal. So, what is our search today? What is the subject matter that we are to examine in the Word so that we will discover whether there is something, some spot or blemish that needs to be opened up before us so that we can confess it and we can be pardoned as we confess it to the Lord? We turn to Isaiah chapter 65 and there we read of it. Isaiah chapter 65, reading there from verse 1 and 2. We're inspiration here. God is speaking. He says, I am sought of them that asked not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. And you will remember in our previous meditations and Sabbaths, we highlighted that we are looking for God's ways, which are higher than man's ways. And here is a direct reference to this. A people that are walking in a way that was not God's way. It was not the good way. It was a way of their own thoughts. Because he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, but they were following their thoughts. And as we examine this, he then makes reference to it in verse 5. Which say, so these are the people who are, he's saying are a rebellious people walking in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. Which say, verse 5, stand by thyself, come not near me, for I am holier than thou. So this is the description of a people that are there before him. Look at the way it says, these are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. Behold, it is written before me in the books of heaven. It is there, the character of these people. There is a perfect photograph of every man's character. And it's a smoke in his nose. It's not pleasing to him. Behold, it is written in front of me. It's a terrible, it's not pleasing me. That's the description he is giving of these people. It is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will recompense, even recompense into their bosom. So if these sins are not, if this sin is not erased, as it is written before him, then there is no recompense. Then probation is closed and their doom is set. So here we are. Our sins that are a smoke up before him must be erased from those books. Something that isn't pleasing him. So as we read that, we think, well, he was writing about the Hebrews, the Israelites there. But is not this message exactly what the Laodicean message is? The people of Laodicea who think they are quite all right. Stand back. I am the chosen people of God. We are the chosen. We are the people of the judgment. Because that's what Laodicea refers to, the people of the judgment. And they know it all so well. And they are doing exactly what is written here in Isaiah. Let's read Revelation 3, 14 to 17. This is the people of the judgment who claim to be the children of God. The ministers, the angel. He writes to the angel of the church of Laodicea. Verse 14. He says, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans is the people of the judgment. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, the faithful and true witness. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. It's a similar sort of term as the smoke up his nostrils. Makes him sick. Why? Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And that mentality is the same as saying, we are God's people. Stand back, we are holier than thou. Yet thou knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Can we see the parallel of Isaiah 65 with the Laodicean people? This is the same description. I am holier than thou. I'm all right. I'm following what I know is written in the Bible, but according to my thoughts. And this is what I have seen in the ministry time and time again. People reading the Word of God from their own perspective, not from God's perspective. And therefore God says, Jesus says, this is Jesus speaking, the faithful and true witness. He says, you say you are rich and increased with goods, but you don't know. And I'm trying to open up to you. I'm trying to open up to you something you don't know. That's what he's saying here. So that they would repent, because he is a loving God. He doesn't want them to be destroyed. So let us consider how this condition of holier than thou is portrayed, so we can examine ourselves. Does this refer to me in any way? We're examining our hearts. And I just want to, as I'm doing this, I want to read the book Maranatha, page 57, paragraph 4. It says here, closely examine your own heart as in the light of eternity. Hide nothing from your examination. Search, oh search, as for your life. Search, oh search, as for your life, and condemn yourself Pass judgment upon yourself, and then by faith claim the cleansing blood of Christ to remove the stains from your Christian character. Do not flatter or excuse yourself. Deal truly with your own soul. And then as you view yourself a sinner, fall all broken at the foot of the cross. Jesus will receive you, all polluted as you are, and will wash you in his blood, and cleanse you from all pollution, and make you fit for the society of heavenly angels in a pure, harmonious heaven. There is no jar, no discord there. All is health, happiness, and joy. So here is an encouraging message. We are to examine ourselves, and as we do so, being honest with ourselves. And did you notice it says, examine myself? And do not flatter and excuse myself as I search out this particular point right now. Am I at all affected by a mentality of holier than thou? And as Seventh-day Adventists, as the people of the judgment of Laodicea in which we are living, we have a quote here from the Spirit of Prophecy, as we examine closely, which really shows how easy it is that with our great knowledge of what is right and proper and so on as revealed in God's word, that we are in danger of this holier than thou. Here it is in the book, Manuscript Releases, Volume 19, reading there, in paragraph, page 176, paragraph 1. All who claim to be Sabbath-keeping Adventists and yet continue in sin are liars in God's sight. Their sinful course is counterworking the work of God. They are leading others into sin. The word comes from God to every member of our churches and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Will the churches heed the Laodicean message? Will they repent? Or will they, notwithstanding that the most solemn message of truth, the third angel's message, is being proclaimed to the world, will they go on in sin? This is the last message of mercy, the last warning to the fallen world. If the Church of God becomes lukewarm, it does not stand in favor with God any more than do the churches that are represented as having fallen and become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Those who have had opportunity to hear and receive the truth and who have united with the Seventh-day Adventist Church, calling themselves the commandment-keeping people of God, and yet possess no more vitality and consecration to God than do the nominal churches, will receive the plagues of God just as verily as the churches who oppose the law of God. Only those that are sanctified through the truth will compose the royal family in the heavenly mansions Christ has gone to prepare for those that love him and keep his commandments. So that was 19 MR, volume 19 of Manuscript Releases, page 176, paragraph 1. Did you notice here this holier-than-thou mentality? The Laodicean people preach about the fallen Babylon around them. Babylon has fallen. That's what the message of the three angels' message is, the second angel's message. And the message is that all the other churches are Babylon. And it says that they will be rejected of God. But did you notice here that with that mentality that they are all fallen and we are God's church, there is a mentality here that is as bad as the fallen Babylon. So this idea of applying God's word to myself in reference to that I'm God's people, but I'm not applying God's word to show me how sinful I am, that in my Laodicean condition, I am no better than those that are Babylon. This is a serious thing. In other words, what Adventists and us, if we are not careful, are prone to do is to take the word that suits me and judge others by the word that tells them where they're wrong. And I'm not applying it to myself. That part. So as I'm searching my heart, there is a condition that I need to search out. Whether I have this attitude that is Laodicean. I'm all right. I have all these wonderful messages. I have a distinctive condition. I'm holier than everybody else. And everything I read to let the other people know that they are not right, but I'm right. Can you see what this condition is? A condition of mind. This is the most serious danger affecting all Seventh-day Adventists and reforming Seventh-day Adventists. It's a mentality to use the distinctive messages that we have and thinking of someone else instead of me. Thinking and applying this statement, we come across a powerful correction, a powerful rebuke. And we think, wow, that's exactly applies to such and such a person. And then another statement, oh, that belongs to such and such a person. We come to church with a mind that is interesting to hear what God's word says, but at the moment something is being made obvious in my mind, I think, oh yes, I've seen that in such person. I've seen it in that person. This is a mentality that we are in grave danger of, that we need to watch very closely, because this is a smoke in God's nose. That sort of mentality. And I'll read it here, straight from the Spirit of Prophecy, that because we are readers, especially as reformers, we are searching the Word of God and we read it and we read the Spirit of Prophecy in all her minute details that Sister White has been commissioned to communicate. And we read the details and Sister White writes this in Councils to the Church, CCH. It's CCH, page 91. And there it says in paragraph 5. In a view given me about 20 years ago, I was then directed to bring out general principles in speaking and in writing, and at the same time specify the dangers, errors, and sins of some individuals. that all might be warned, reproved, and counseled. I saw that all should search their own hearts and lives closely to see if they had not made the same mistake for which others were corrected, and if the warnings given for others did not apply to their own cases. If so, they should feel that the counsel and reproofs were given especially for them, and should make as practical an application for them as though they were especially addressed to themselves. Can you see a problem when we read Sister White's writings, that if we have this aptitude to read something and say, wow, what she is writing there, I can really see it applies to that person. It really applies to the other person, the next thing I read. But it was not written for me to do that. It was written for me to examine myself to see whether it was not something she is writing about me. And this is what I have experienced in the ranks of Reformers and Seventh-day Adventists, that they use Sister White's writings to hammer other people and point out to them where they're wrong, and they cannot see that it applies to themselves. That's what we have been establishing as we've been reading here, and this is what we need to examine closely. Am I doing that? Am I reading Sister White's writings to hear what she's saying about others to see whether that she is not saying that to me? How easy it is, and I've seen this time and time again, using Sister White to tell other people where they're wrong instead of realizing it applies to me. So, it goes on to say, God designs to test the faith of all who claim to be followers of Christ. He will test the sincerity of the prayers of all who claim to earnestly desire to know their duty. He will make duty plain. He will give all an ample opportunity to develop what is in their hearts. He will test the sincerity. So through the writings of the Spirit of Prophecy that we are exposed to as Seventh-day Adventist Reformers, God is writing there things that we might say, oh, well, that was that person's problem or this person's problem. And then the people I see, yeah, exactly. It's a description of the problems I see around me. And I miss reading it about me. Holier than thou. And so we turn to this important quote in our High Calling, page 233, where it says in paragraph 3, our High Calling, page 233, paragraph 3. The Lord is not pleased. Now remember what our sermon is about, what our series is about. Seeking to please God. Here it is. The Lord is not pleased with his people when they neglect to criticize their own soul, criticizing others instead. There it is. This is Satan's work. When you do this work, remember that the enemy is using you as a means of tempting others, in order that those who should be united in harmony and joy, building up one another in the most holy faith, shall be warring and complaining because someone else is sinning. Are you picking up what this is doing? Haven't we experienced just this? That we are not pleasing God when we neglect to criticize and read God's word to apply to me, and I apply it to others, criticizing others instead. This is Satan's work. When we do this work, what happens when we do this work? We are doing the work of the enemy and using as a means of tempting others in order that those who should be united in harmony and joy, building up one another in the most holy faith, begin to war and complain because someone else is sinning. Christ has not made you a sin bearer. You cannot even bear your own sin. Therefore, be very careful not to take up any reproach against your neighbor. What does it mean to take up a reproach against your neighbor? It means just this, that we take the correction that is meant to go for me and apply it to someone else that I can see is doing the same thing that I'm doing, but I'm not recognizing that I'm doing it, because that's what Laodicean's mentality is. I don't see that I'm wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. But I can see the others. And so this is a terrible sin that creates disruption of beautiful harmony and joy among God's church. Can we see what we need to confess? We should be building up one another, not criticizing the other person, because this is what we're doing. As I talk about other people in the church that are faulty, not doing what we know is written, I'm actually creating a rift within the church. I'm doing this. Christ has not made you a sin bearer. You cannot even bear your own sin. Therefore, be very careful not to take up any reproach against your neighbor. God wants his people to be free. Shall we not remember that by the words we speak, we may either wound or heal? Shall we not remember that as we judge, so we shall be judged? We who perhaps have had many more opportunities than those whom we judge. Our hearts must be melted with tenderness and love for one another. We may criticize ourselves just as severely as we please. The one who criticizes another gives evidence that he is the very one who needs to criticize himself. Take that on board. The one who notes the faults of another uses Sister White's writings to illuminate that. Oh yeah, look at that. As he criticizes another, he gives evidence that he is the very one who is to criticize himself. You really let that sink in and you realize, whoops, I better. That stops all discussion about other people. That stops it when you let that sink in. Pray to God to show you what you must remove from yourselves in order that you may see the kingdom of God. Here is something we are to examine ourselves on, because it's written there, and it's a smoke in his nose. It's not pleasing to him. We are to cease that, as we see it so beautifully expressed here in this quote, that this would cease creating rifts in the church when we would cease doing that, when we would confess that. I'll read it once again in the last sentence of Testimony Volume 5, very beautifully put here. It says on page 285, paragraph 2. Those who take it upon themselves to watch their neighbor's garden instead of weeding their own plot of ground will surely find their own garden so grown up to weeds that every precious plant would be crowded out. Isn't that interesting? Are we watching other people's gardens? Are we watching other people's characters? Are we using Sister White's writings, typically in the ranks of so many where shattered experiences take place, and then people blame the spirit of prophecy for it. And that's happened in my experience time and time again. People find it that E.G. White's writings are so condemning and they cause so much problems in the church, so they turn away from the great, from the spirit of prophecy. When it's really their mistake that they are reading that to apply to others instead of to themselves. This is a serious problem that we are to examine whether I'm doing that and confess that and let it be removed so that it is not a smoke in God's nostrils anymore, that what is written before him is confessed and eradicated, blotted out. This is the message for this hour. As we proceed into the detailed search of all that is to follow in this series, not for one moment are we to fall into the trap that this, what this brother is sharing now, applies to this and that person. Let's get rid of that entirely as we proceed. Because we're going to search deeply every other truth of the Bible that is to be examined, that we're to examine ourselves by. And if I'm doing this, I'm immediately falling into the trap of Satan. And I don't want to even go any further in this series if we're going to be in the danger of falling into that. We are to concentrate that what we are doing, we are searching our own hearts, not the hearts of another person. We are criticizing our own selves as we discover what is being revealed to me, and I just try to uplift my brothers and sisters, and I enrich their experience by my confession and my testimony of what the Lord is doing for me, concentrating on Jesus and I, my personal Savior. It's a personal Savior that I'm looking to. And as I look to him personally, he reveals to me my sins, not the other people's, my sins. And as I confess them to him, and as he touches me with his mercy, I'm able to uplift others. That's how this works. So, not to fall into the trap of the typical reformer mentality. You know what you call that mentality? It's called bigotism. It's being bigoted. You might need to look that up in German. To be a bigot is to be somebody who judges other people around him with all the high standards that he believes he should tell them about. Being bigoted, standing in such a manner towards people that it makes them shrivel because you let them know how wrong they are and how right I am. This is what this subject is about. And we, as we learn to do what is right, we are to concentrate on confessing our own, criticizing ourselves, and refusing to criticize others. God grant us this, that we will truly be released from this terrible danger. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.